Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
There's nobody like Jesus. Well, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some have just gotten married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. We're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we do not understand. Now, folks, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. I was just looking at our bulletin. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, boy, I'd like to make a difference, to take the gospel to all people, we have an opportunity. Global Connections Ministry will pair you up with someone from somewhere in this world that is an international student, and you have the opportunity to share Jesus and to become a friend to someone that needs the Lord Jesus. I really encourage us to step out of our comfort zone and reach out to the people of our community in a very special way. That would be a great opportunity. I hope you'll see that in the bulletin. But I'll just conclude by saying this. Jesus is powerful. The gospel of power is powerful. It says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not about money. It's not about what church you attend. It's not about your status. It's not about your title. It's not about your power. It is about the gospel. It is what has the power to save us. And I'll just say this to end. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to Revelation chapter 11. And I want to ask you a question. If you could give the world another day to celebrate, what would you give the world? You know, we have all kinds of days to celebrate. We've got birthdays. We've got New Year's Day. We've got Christmas. We've got Veterans Day. We've got Memorial Day. We've got Valentine's Day. We've got President's Day. If you could give the world another day, we might even get a day off at work for it. What would you call it? I thought about one. We could have Happy Gator Day. I went to UF. I like the Gators. We could call it Happy Gator Day. Well, I want you to know that today we're going to find a group of people that established a new holiday. It is the only place, it is the only place in the book of Revelation that on the earth there's a celebration. You know, Revelation is full of judgment. But it's the only place we find in Revelation that there's a celebration on the earth. And here's what they named it: Happy Dead Witnesses Day. Happy Dead Witnesses Day. Let's read about it in Revelation chapter 11, and I'm going to go through verse 13. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read from mine. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there, but leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses. We got two witnesses coming up right here. And they will prophesy 1,260 days, or for 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends, that's the first mention of the Antichrist or the beast that is in the book of Revelation. It says in verse 7, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Verse 9, you ready for this? Then those from the people, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Verse 11, now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Happy Dead Witnesses Day. Or the title of the message today is The Two Witnesses. Let's learn about the two witnesses. Now, there's several things there in your lesson guide that I want you to get. These are some main points here as we take a look at this. This is an interlude between the sixth trumpet judgment and the seventh trumpet. If you look at verse 15, you see it says, then the seventh angel sounded. We haven't gotten there yet. This is an interlude. There was an interlude between the sixth and the seventh seal. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just following us, maybe you're watching us on our live streaming, welcome if you are. Maybe you're new to the study here and you're trying to piece it all together. It's not easy in one message to review the whole thing, but we know that there are judgments from God. This is the tribulation period that is in the future. We find it prophesied that in the future, this seven-year period of tribulation is going to come, and God is going to judge mankind. He is going to judge those left on the earth following the great catching away of the church that they will be gone at this point towards at the end of the tribulation. There will be no church there, but there will be people of all nations and tribes and tongues that do not know Christ, and many will come to know Christ in the midst of this judgment. God is going to use these two witnesses. He's going to use other witnesses that will tell the story of Christ, and people will be coming to Christ at this time. But God is bringing judgment upon the earth. It's the process of Him making right all of the wrongs. There were those that were under the altar crying out to God, Lord, how long before you make things right? And sometimes in our world today, we say the same thing. It appears, if we're not careful, it appears, if we lose our perspective, that those that are unjust and those that do not know God or try to serve the Lord are the ones that are blessed, and the ones that know the Lord are not blessed. Well, that may be the case. Don't ever listen to anyone tell you that if you give your life to Christ, everything's going to be perfect. Because that is not what the Bible teaches. That you will still have trouble. You will still have tribulation. Jesus said, we will be persecuted. There will be some persecution. There will be a price to pay to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But make no mistake about it. In the end, God wins. Now, right now, we are in what I have heard all my life, and now I understand a little bit more as I've studied. We are in what we call the church age. This is the age where folks have an opportunity to give their life to Christ. That's one of the reasons we ought to be about sharing Christ. We got to get the message to people, because now is the opportunity for them to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The book of James says life is but a vapor. It's like boiling water. You boil water, and water just, the steam comes up, and all of a sudden you go up there and you try to take a jar and gather up some steam. It's hard to do. Here's the steam coming out of the water, and you grab it, you look at it, and all of a sudden you say, where's my steam? Because it's just that fast. Well, the Bible teaches that a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. This life seems long to us, but in the scope of all eternity, it's very quick. In the scope of all eternity, it's very quick. And that's why we need to be busy. We need to, the Christian life is a go life. It means go, get up and go. Because the Lord says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations, all the people groups of the world. And so I encourage all of us to realize that we're in a very special time of history. It's a time when people have the opportunity to know the Lord. Well, when that time is up, the Lord brings about a time of tribulation. And there are 6 seals that are in a scroll. Last week, we heard about another scroll. We heard about John, who was told to eat that scroll. It's an amazing passage. But it was another interlude in the middle of judgments. So you had 6 seals, and then you had the 7th seal, and then there are revealed 7 trumpet judgments. Right now, we're in the middle of the 6th and the 7th trumpet judgments, and we're in an interlude. And so in this interlude, there are 2 witnesses that come. And let's look at, number one, the perspective of the witnesses. In verses 1 and 2, what did they see? What was going on? Well, John was told to measure the temple. It says in verse 1, I was given a reed. They had these in that day. It was like a long reed that was like bamboo, and they would measure it, and that's how they could measure distances. And it says, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. And so he's going to measure the temple, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. In other words, the Gentiles will go in and out of the court. They are not Israel. They are not the people of Israel. The people of Israel will be worshiping in that temple. You say, well, there's not a temple on the Temple Mount. I know that. I just went to Israel this spring. It was a trip of a lifetime to get to see this particular place we're talking about, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. There is no temple on there. There has not been a temple on that mount since AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. It was Herod's great temple that he had built, and it was destroyed. But Revelation seems to indicate that during this tribulation time, there will be a temple there. Now, some have tried to, some have given positions that this temple is not a literal temple. I tell you, when you get into the book of Revelation, you want to use the historical, grammatical, literal interpretation of Scripture. Here's the reason why. If all of a sudden you're allegorizing everything in there, the question is, what do you allegorize and what do you not allegorize? And then all of a sudden it becomes your interpretation, somebody else's interpretation. The best we know, we take all of Scripture as best we know, we take it literally to mean exactly what the words speak it, how it is written and how it's spoken. And the Scripture says, go and measure that temple. Don't measure the outer court. That was where the Gentiles were. And so we believe, and by the way, the Jews in Jerusalem and around the world are preparing to rebuild the temple. They want a temple. They want a new temple, a new place to worship. And evidently, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I tell you what, the closer they get to building it, then you better get your moving boots on. Because I'm telling you, the Lord will be coming the closer they get to building it. And so here's the perspective of these witnesses. John is told to measure this temple. Now, we find in Scripture that the Lord measures things. In Ezekiel chapter 40, he measured the temple. In Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem is measured. When the Lord measures something, it's his way of saying, I'm marking it off as mine. It's a position of ownership. And many believe that this is God's way of saying that the Jews and Israel, you know, God made promises to the Jews that he is going to fulfill. And so he says, I'm marking off these Jews. I'm marking off Israel as mine. He says, I want you to take that rod that reed and that rod, and I want you to measure the temple and those who worship there. Well, who would be worshiping in the temple? The Jews would be worshiping in the temple. And so the Lord is marking them off and saying, they are mine. They are mine. He says, mark off the altar. That's the brazen altar. Those who worship there, that's Israel. He's marking off Israel. But he says, leave out the court. He is dealing with Israel. Can I tell you this? What the Lord, when the Lord has made a covenant with anyone, he keeps his promise. I may let you down. I may say to you, give you a promise and let you down. I won't do that on purpose. I hope I won't. I will try not to. But can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus will never make a promise. He says this in John 6:47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. So we know by the promise of God, if we believe on him, we have everlasting life. We can bank on that. In 1 Peter, it says, we have been marked out. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's speaking about believers. So here, the perspective of the witnesses is that God is marking out his territory. And let me just say this to us in the church age right here. God has marked us out. God has chosen us. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world. I don't totally understand that, but I know God's word says this. Before the foundation of the world, God chose me. Praise the Lord. God chose his children. He knew me before the foundation of the world. He says this in Psalm 89, verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen and sworn to my servant David. He made that promise to Israel. He makes that promise to believers. And by the way, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says this. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So if the Lord has saved you, he's going to complete that work. You say, well, I'm a long way from the way I think it's completed. Well, buckle up. The Lord's going to change you. The Lord is going to complete his work. Robert, you're going to get sweeter and sweeter. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, Allison, hang on. It's going to be good. Seriously. I need to be saying that to Kelly, actually. Hang on, but get me sweeter and sweeter. The point is, God has made us promises. If you are a believer in Christ, you are marked out. He has measured you, just like he's measuring the temple in the tribulation period and marking out those who worship him, those that are of Israel, the Jews. He's marking them out. He's marked you out as well, and you need to be encouraged and know that. All right? So that was the perspective of those witnesses. Now, what is the preaching of the witnesses? Well, the word witness, whenever the word witness is in Scripture, it refers to people. So these are people that are witnessing, two witnesses of the Lord. And it says they will prophesy. They will preach for half of the tribulation period. And they are clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth was used for mourning. They were burdened. They were burdened for the condition of the world. They were burdened because they, and even in the midst of all this judgment that is happening, man, think about these witnesses. They could spit fire. I mean, I don't know all that means. All I know is the Bible says that if someone came against them, that they would be consumed with fire. You better be careful the next time you challenge somebody that's trying to witness to you. But so I don't understand exactly how that's going to play out. But these two witnesses were clothed in sackcloth. They were in mourning. And it says in verse 4, look at this. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands. Well, an olive tree made the oil for the lamp, and the lamp shined. They are comparing in this passage, in Zechariah chapter 4, compared to Zerubbabel, who established Israel and Palestine, who reestablished it, the king Zerubbabel, the governor Zerubbabel, who established Israel and Palestine, and then Joshua the high priest, who rebuilt the temple. And so it's a combination of like these two. They're like an olive tree and like a lamp. The olive gives the oil that is put in the lamp, and that is a light. And so God is using them to preach. They are preaching about Jesus. And the truth is, the people don't want to hear it. The Jews don't want to hear it, and the Gentiles don't want to hear it. We've already read where there were judgments after judgments, and the people would not repent. Would not repent. And so this is what's happening. These two witnesses are preaching. They were the light. They were like that olive tree and that lamp. And in the same way, the Lord has called us to be the light. He says, you are the light of the world. Folks, as we read Revelation and study it, we realize more and more the message of God to the world. And that is that he loves the world. He gave his only begotten Son for the world, that whosoever believeth in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. The preaching of the witnesses was a prophecy, a prophesying of the gospel, a prophesying that Jesus was the Messiah, but the people did not want to hear it. But I tell you one thing, the witnesses had power. Number three, the power of the witnesses. Because fire proceeds from their mouth. They had the power to shut heaven. They had the power to stop it from raining. Now, sometimes we need a lot of rain. We've been needing rain. I hope it doesn't pour down rain tonight. I hope we have a clear night. Last week it rained so hard one day I wished I could have shut off the rain, at least spread it out a little bit. I mean, it comes down in huge waves sometimes. But these witnesses had the power to shut off heaven. It reminds you of Elijah, when Elijah stopped the rain in 1 Kings chapter 17. They also had the power over waters to turn them to blood. This reminds us of Moses. Now, some scholars believe that the two witnesses are actually Elijah and Moses. I don't know that they are actually Elijah and Moses, but they have a likeness to what they did because they have some characteristics that remind you of Elijah and of Moses. You remember Moses had the ability with the plagues. Well, these witnesses have the ability with the plagues. We find that in Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 18. So the truth is they had power. They had power in the gospel. Well, let's just apply that to us today. Do you know, I quoted the verse a few moments ago, the power of the gospel. You know, we have the power of the Holy Spirit when we present the gospel. The gospel is the power of God, and we have that gospel. The scripture says, and you shall receive power, talking to believers when Jesus was ascending back to heaven. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, our church, get buckled up, because the Lord wants us to make a difference in the world. We have some opportunities coming up we're going to be telling you about, some opportunities to mobilize people from our fellowship, that's you, to be involved in missions around the world. We've sent a bunch of teams off this summer. Some of them have come back. There are still some that are away, and we praise God for that. I was thinking about Allison Bowie, who we prayed for last Sunday night. She is in Jamaica right now working with children, trying to tell them about Christ. Well, you just get ready, because the Lord is wanting to send us, and when he sends us, he gives us power. These witnesses in the tribulation time had power. But now, number four, we learn about the passing of the witnesses. In verse 7, the Bible says this, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. This is the Antichrist. This is the first time he's mentioned in the book of Revelation. This is the first of 36 references to the Antichrist or the beast. He's also called the man of sin or the lawless one. We find different references to him in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we find 36 references to this beast or the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. Evidently, these two witnesses will be preaching. They'll be sharing relentlessly. And if someone tries to come against them, they're dead, because they breathe fire and they consume them. But all of a sudden, the beast, who's been making war against them, all of a sudden, it says in verse 7, when they finish their testimony. I think that's significant. When they finish their testimony, when their work was done, then the beast was given the ability and he could overcome them. I tell you, can I tell you something? Until your work is done, you're going to be here. For the believer, now listen, for the believer, now listen, don't get unhealthy on me and try to help death along. Okay? Don't get unhealthy and try to help death along. Don't do things to try to speed it up. But I this is an interesting thing. Well, let me just tell you this. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said this. She said, until my work is over. I'm sorry, I said Corrie Ten Boom. It's Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon. You got to get your facts straight, right? It was Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon said this. She said, I am immortal until my work on earth is done. You say, I don't know. God, I feel God's tug to go on the mission field. Can I tell you this? You're going to be okay until the Lord's finished with you. You say, boy, I don't know if I could be a witness at my work because I don't know, boy, that's going to really be a price to pay. Well, let me just tell you this. Until the Lord is done with you, he's going to be over your life. You are protected by him, and you're going to be fine. Jim Elliot, who lost his life as a young man, one of my heroes in missions, Jim Elliot, went with four other young men. These were strapping young men. Oh, Elliot was a wrestler. I don't know, is wrestling big anymore in high school? I mean, in college? I think up north it's, what is it, Iowa? Iowa, the big wrestling school? Y'all just looking at me. Are y'all here today? What's going on? I need some help here. Is it Iowa? Okay, how about Iowa State? Them two? Okay, Iowa State. What was that one guy? Man, that one guy that was the Olympian? Man, that guy, when he was a legend. He had cauliflower ears. He had wrestled so hard, you know. Why am I telling you about wrestling? Oh, Elliot was a wrestler. Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a strapping young man. He was a wrestler at Wheaton College. And the Lord called him to go on the mission field to take the gospel to a place that there were cannibals. There were people that people had gone in there, they never come out. And they all said to Jim, they said, oh, Jim, stay in the U.S., man. You'd make a great youth pastor. You'd make a great, man, you could really influence a lot of young people. You're such an athlete. He went anyway. And Jim Elliot and his five friends, these were all powerhouse guys. These were all guys that were powerful young men with great leadership, and yet God had burdened them for people that had never heard the gospel. Jim Elliot wrote a letter to his parents, and like Lottie Moon, he made this statement. He said, Dad, he said, I'm convinced that you're immortal until your work is done. Hey, let me tell you something. These witnesses in the tribulation, you're talking about a bad time to serve? Try the tribulation. But these guys, it says, and when their testimony, when they finish their testimony, then that's when it happened. The beast was released, and the beast had made war with them, but he was given the power over them. And it says in the passage here in verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city. That phrase, the great city, is a phrase used for Jerusalem. And also, you know it's Jerusalem because it says in the place where our Lord was crucified. Well, that was in Jerusalem. And it says, they will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt. Can you believe what a Jew reading this in AD 95 when John wrote it would have thought when he thought Jerusalem was like Sodom in Egypt? To a Jew, Sodom was the most immoral place on planet Earth, and Egypt was the most rebellious nation that had ever been. They were the nation that was always nipping at the heels of Israel. And so a Jew reading this would have thought, oh no, are you kidding me? Jerusalem is going to be like Sodom. It's going to be like Egypt. And he says in verse 8, they're going to lie in the streets for 3.5 days. And this is exactly what would happen here. And then it says in verse 9, then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. Now, this gives indication that all over the world, people would see their dead bodies. I mean, there's only so many people can get in Jerusalem. I went to Jerusalem. It's a crowded place. But listen, with our technology today, by the way, right now the British Open is being played over in Ireland. I don't want anybody looking at their phone right now. Some of you golfing fans, you're wondering how they're doing, because it's what, 6 or 7 hours ahead. You know, we have the ability to immediately, right now, see what's happening anywhere in the world. Man, I can do it through FaceTime. If I got internet, that's the question. But the point is that with our technology, you wonder how everybody, all nations, can see these dead people laying in the streets. Well, with our abilities, with technology, it could be done. And it says, all the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. They're not even going to give them a decent burial. This is the worst way to treat in the biblical times. The worst thing you could do would be not to bury the dead, but to just leave them out. And that's exactly what they did. Verse 10, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice. It's the only time in Revelation you find rejoicing on the earth during this tribulation. And what are they rejoicing over? They're rejoicing over Dead Witnesses Day. These people are dead, and they're rejoicing. And it says this, they're making merry, and they're sending gifts. They're actually sending presents to each other. The witnesses are dead. Here's your gift. I mean, come on. And so here's what they're doing. They send gifts. The last thing, number 5, the parting of the witnesses. In verses 11 through 13. And the scripture says in verse 11, now after the 3.5 days, just put this little thing in your mind. The Lord has the last word. Hey, listen. Well, I tell this story about when Napoleon. Who beat Napoleon in England? Who defeated Napoleon? Wellington. Thank you, Wellington. They used to communicate to the people in London. They would go out on the river and they would buy semaphore. You know what semaphore is? They would take letters and they would put letters up and you could read it. You'd be on the banks and you'd say, man, it looks like, what are they saying there? Well, when Wellington went out to war against Napoleon, the ships came in and the word started spreading through London. They said, hey, the ships are coming to tell us about Wellington. He's fighting Napoleon, the great Napoleon from France. Wonder what happened. And so they went out there and all of a sudden they lifted up the thing and it said, Wellington defeated. And their hearts sunk and the people went back home and they said, we're sunk. That means Napoleon will come in. A great fog had fallen upon the river. And it got real foggy and they couldn't see. When the fog lifted, they went back and they saw that they had not seen the whole message. Because the whole message said, Wellington defeated the enemy at Waterloo. And they said, oh, we won, Wellington won. Well, let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ was crucified, boy, the devil and his demons did a dance. And they thought, Jesus is dead. We've done it. Jesus is dead. But let me tell you, they didn't get the whole message. Well, they did after 3 days. And Jesus Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. And because he defeated Satan, we have victory. Now, we're in a period of time, sometimes we don't always see that victory. And these witnesses were dead in the street for three and a half days. And all of a sudden, the people were rejoicing, they were giving presents. In verse 11, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. And they stood on their feet. The Lord gave them life. They raised from the dead. You think that gets your attention on CNN? You think that gets your attention on TV? All of a sudden, they were. I can see them videoing these dead witnesses. Man, everybody's having a party. And all of a sudden, they startle. And they stand to their feet. The Bible says, his life entered them, the breath of life. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. You think? Okay? Verse 12. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. It's interesting. When Jesus ascended, he was with his followers, and his followers saw him ascend. When these witnesses ascend in the tribulation, his enemies see them ascend. Verse 13, in the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. That's an interesting phrase, and they gave glory. Great fear fell on those who saw them. That is a spiritual revival that took place. They saw that resurrection of those witnesses, and they saw them, and fear fell upon the people. That's what we need. We need some resurrections. Now, the greatest resurrection is not a physical resurrection. It's a resurrection of spiritual life. And when Jesus comes in and raises somebody's life spiritually, and they become born again, they give their life to Christ, and their life changes. I'm telling you, that is what brings revival, when people see that Christ can change people from the inside out. And he said, come up here. They ascended. 7,000 were killed, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. That phrase is used for believers. The indication here is that those that saw this repented, and they were glorifying God because they came under conviction. So in conclusion, here's some takeaways from today's passage. Number one, we are protected until our work is done. Ladies and gentlemen, you are protected until your work on this earth is done. So if God leads you, you go all out for the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that you do, knowing that God is protecting you until your work is done. Number two, we're called to speak. Those witnesses were called to prophesy. They were called to share, and we are called to speak. The Bible says, how shall they hear of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a spokesperson, someone who is sharing the message? So we are called to speak. Number three, the world will resist. The beast was against these men. The people were against these men, so much so that they rejoiced when they died. The people rejoiced when they died. The world will resist, and we can count on that too. The world will resist. Number four, God promises to raise his people from the dead. God promises to raise his people from the dead. When we die, the Lord has given us a promise. He says, I want you to know that if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, listen. We may have some tough times. We may have some discouragement. But we need to take heart, knowing that God has promised to raise us up, and one day we will spend eternity with him. This life is short in the scheme of all time. Eternity is a long time. And right now we have the opportunity to get the gospel to the world, to live for him and to see his victory in people's lives. We're protected until our work is done. We're called to speak. The world will resist, but God promises to raise his people from the dead. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.